This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. All right, here we go. Reaction to the NFL draft. First of all, what a fantastic 3 days. A lot of concern heading into the NFL draft. How will they get it done? Will it be that? Listen, the NFL draft was outstanding. I got to watch what I usually watch. I didn't miss the commissioner on the stage giving hugs to players throughout and chest bumps. Who cares? It was fantastic. And I think if you're a football fan waking up today, it was fun for 3 days to follow along with something that mattered and that you can kind of give hope to yourself and to your team going forward. It was awesome.
Can I give a hot take?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I start off Sunday morning with a hot take?
Throw the take out there.
Hot take too hot? I know. Listen, the draft was here in Chicago. I understand the revenue it generates for the cities that it goes to, the great atmosphere it creates for the fans and you know, kids to get to go through all that, the NFL world and everything and meet players and all that kind of stuff. I liked this better. From a viewing standpoint, I enjoyed a relaxed Roger Goodell, you know, awkwardly sitting back in a leather chair. I liked looking at the houses. I liked, you know, obviously, hopefully next season, they can have all these analysts in the same studio, so there's not that much of a lag, because that was maybe the only annoying part. But you get it. Everybody's on a Zoom. There's a little bit of a lag. It's fine. But ultimately, I kind of like this look into the draft a little bit better than previous years. I liked seeing into the coaches and the GM's houses. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed getting a reaction from every player with their family and not necessarily walking up to the stage. Now, when it's back in Vegas in 2 years, it'll be interesting to see them boat up to the stage. But ultimately, it was fun. It was a fun weekend of the draft. It was good to enjoy. I know everybody's dealing with the coronavirus and being quarantined at home and everything. It was good to have some normalcy of the NFL draft, even though it looked a little bit different and it felt a little bit different. It was still a very fun, productive weekend.
Yeah, the NFL draft is one of my favorite weekends of the year because I can really nerd out on football. And then added to the point that we're all staying at home. We're all kind of looking for something to do. I think it was fun. It was great. And you're right. It didn't miss a beat. And the one thing I would agree with you completely is that, yeah, the guys who are broadcasting the event, they would prefer to sit at a desk together because then you don't get the delays between Trey going to Riddick, going to Mel Kiper Jr. But outside of that, it was smooth.
Yeah.
It ran well.
Yeah.
We followed the picks. We saw what was going on. And then we get to the Chicago Bears. So Bears fans, 312-332-3776. It seemed like things went smooth. Day three of the draft, Ryan Pace got Ricci. He moved picks from the sixth round. He moved back to the seventh. He jumped up to the fifth. He moved a fourth round pick in 2021 so he could select an individual in the fifth round, the 10th pick in the fifth round, Travis Gibson from Tulsa, the outside linebacker. If you're a Bears fan this morning and you're looking at this draft class for the 2020 draft, what's your opinion on it? What do you think? Obviously, the two guys they selected in the second round, Cole Kmet from Notre Dame, the tight end, and Jalen Johnson, the cornerback from Utah. Those two individuals, I love the picks. I think those are going to be impact players. I think on year one, you should expect to see these two individuals start for the Chicago Bears. And then you get to the fifth round picks. The three fifth round picks, to me, are all question marks. I don't know if you can project out fifth-round picks as being impact players on your team. For me, usually, when you get to the fourth round, that's when you stop looking at starters for your team, and now you're filling holes as special teamers and guys that you will be pleasantly surprised turn out to be starters. And if you look at Ryan Pace's track record, basically, the sixth and seventh rounds have been a complete waste for him. He has two guys who are still on the roster, one in Duke Shelley from last year, who the Bears just went out and signed or drafted two cornerbacks. So that doesn't really tell me high hopes for Duke Shelley, the cornerback from Kansas State. And then you get Javon Wims, who couldn't see the field last year when you had injuries in the wide receiver. So to me, the sixth and seventh round for Ryan Pace are bonus plays, and they're not guys who you're expecting impact from. Same goes for the fifth round. So to me, I like the two that you get in the second. Outside of that, a lot of question marks, and I think the process is to be questioned from Ryan Pace on how he got these individuals and drafted them yesterday as well.
Yeah, to me, this is like when I was in chemistry in high school, Chris. I ended up with like a B minus in chemistry, but I had to do a lot of extra credit to make up for it. You know what I mean? Like when I got home and my report card said B minus, my parents were like, all right, cool. You're not grounded. You got a B minus in chemistry. Good job. Did they know at one point I was failing and or had a D? No, because I snuck my midterms out of the mail and they didn't get to see them. It's classic Abdallah. I'm going to get home quick and I'm going to take the midterms out and I'm going to burn them, literally burn them. So there's no evidence.
Classic Abdallah. This isn't a sitcom.
No,
what do you mean classic Abdallah?
Like I was lighting on a fire and there was music in the back going, wah, wah.
Kids these days can't get away with that anymore.
What do
all
you,
the grades
are
online.
Yeah, because it's online. Yeah.
It's all
but my point
real
is,
time.
I like the picks. The picks are good. Cole Kmet, going to be an impact player, like you said. Jalen Johnson, first round grades, probably fell because of the injury because he has a torn labrum and played with a torn labrum all of last season. You had to trade back into the fifth round to get Travis Gibson, but you had to give up a fourth round pick from next year. And people are like, oh, compensatory picks. Picks are picks, people. If you're giving up picks from next year, oh, they're going to get it back. I don't care if they're not going to get it back because they traded it away. You can't get something back you trade away. That's not how it works. Yeah, you're going to get compensatory picks. Everybody gets compensatory picks.
Can you believe, really, people are waking up today defending Pace for giving up the fourth rounder because of compensatory picks that they hope that they get next season?
Because they're projected to get compensatory picks. And then you trade a couple sixth-round picks to move back into the fifth round again to try, and then you only have seventh-round picks. So, yes, the picks are good. But the method in which he got to those picks are not good. I would have liked to see them trade 43, move back into the second, move later into the second round. You probably could have still taken Cole Kmet. And people, again, are saying, well, you don't know. Maybe someone would have traded in to get him. Well, I saw the picks between 43 and 50, and no one took a tight end. So I don't know about that.
Well,
maybe they were trying to. Maybe they weren't.
In defense to that guy who's talking to you, how did that work out with Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, exactly.
He saw a ghost and he jumped up and had to grab him. So it seems to be a common theme, a common thread with Ryan Pace.
I feel like you could have moved back and found someone to move back in the second round, gotten a fifth round pick for it. There's your fifth round pick to draft Travis Gibson if you wanted to. And that's fine. These guys both got first round grades. They were drafted in the second round because of injuries and because, Cole Kmet is a good pass-catching tight end, but ultimately, he didn't have that great. Like, he's not some outstanding tight end. He's the best of a really bad tight end group. He's a very good tight end. First-round grade, like I mentioned. I'm not denying the fact that he had a first-round grade. But ultimately, you needed a tight end. You drafted a tight end. You needed a corner, so you drafted a corner. But you still don't have a quarterback. You still didn't draft a quarterback for the future. And to me, that's another knock on this draft class.
Bears fans, are you happy with the draft class? 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls all morning right here on ESPN 1000. Ryan Pace last night talking about his draft process.
I'm just really proud of the way we operated and kind of navigated through this whole draft. You know, I think, you know, collaboration is a key word when I think about the seven players that we drafted. Really, every player, there was just a clear alignment and vision with our coaches on every single guy we selected. So that's always good. I think the communication amongst our staff is outstanding through this whole draft process. And again, I just can't say enough about our IT and video departments because those guys stepped up in a huge way, really, the past month. So the scouts put so much work into this. You know, we weren't in the same room physically this year, but we were extremely connected through the process. You know, I look back on this whole thing, and it was such a unique experience to do this with our families. I think it'll be something we'll always remember.
So that's Ryan Pace last night on the teleconference following the completion of the 2020 NFL draft. Matt Nagy on the same teleconference talking about the draft strategy and the opening statement from Matt Nagy last night.
It was a pretty cool experience. It was certainly unique, but the the communication process between our personnel department, our IT, our coaches. Everyone did just such a great job. It was pretty seamless, I thought. And I think that when that happens in unprecedented times and times we've never gone through like this before, to have it come out like it did and with the players that we're really excited to get and be fired up about, it was a special couple of days here. So I know you guys will have a lot of questions and we'll have answers for you, but it's definitely, we feel like we got better, and I think that's the number one goal when you get through these type of weekends.
So that's Matt Nagy, head coach of the Chicago Bears, Ryan Pace last night. Abdallah, one of the major storylines throughout the draft, you kind of laid it out a couple minutes ago, the quarterback position. The Bears go through another draft under the Ryan Pace regime where they do not select a quarterback. It didn't have to be a second-round quarterback. You and I both like Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. The Bears didn't go after Jalen Hurts. Okay, I get it.
I didn't expect them to because of Nick Foles. I didn't expect it.
It's fine. We would have been pleasantly surprised if they would have done that. They did not go after a quarterback in the fifth round with three picks, with quarterbacks on the board. They didn't go after a quarterback in the seventh with their two picks, and they haven't signed as a unrestricted free agent a quarterback off the street who was not drafted. So no quarterbacks. You have Nick Foles. You have Mitchell Trubisky. Ryan Pace last night talked about an update on Mitchell Trubisky. They have the Bears have until May 4th until they have to decide on the fifth-year option. Here's Pace on Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option.
You know, just coming off the draft right now, I mean, we're just decompressing on this final day. So, you know we have till May 4th. There's no updates in that area.
Okay, so no updates, but Pace is confident in the quarterback room.
That's how the board felt, but we do have confidence in our quarterbacks. You know, from Mitch to Nick and Tyler Bray, we have confidence in our quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. But I think the board fell a certain way. We have to be disciplined with it, and that's just the way it played out.
Okay.
Look.
But hold on. Let's go back to Tuesday. Here's Tuesday, Ryan Pace. On if the Bears would take a quarterback if he was best available.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're always going to take Pat the best player available. So if a quarterback was there and he was the highest guy on our board and in a strong way, we would consider that. I think we'd consider every position. You know, let's face it, the draft is risky enough. When you deviate from taking best player, I think you just increase your risk.
Okay. Here's last night.
That's how the board felt, but we do have confidence in our quarterbacks. You know, from Mitch to Nick and Tyler Bray, we have confidence in our quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. But I think the board fell a certain way. We have to be disciplined with it, and that's just the way it played out.
Okay, so who's doing the boards up there? And I ask this because if you listen to his clips from Tuesday, he says he'll take best available. Clearly, at 43 with Cole Kmet, who might be a damn good football player. Mm-hmm. There were better value picks on the board. So let's look at this with nuance. Let's not start yelling that Bleck and Abdallah hate Cole Kmet or they don't like the draft pick. Look at the value.
We love the Bears.
There were players on the board available at 43 that the Bears could have selected while still using the 50th pick, if do so, on someone like Cole Kmet.
If that's
who you had to have, you could have tried to do it at 50. You could have also tried to move something around. You could have gotten a different tight end. Listen, he wasn't the only tight end in the class. I know it wasn't as deep of a class as wide receiver, but you were able to wait until the fifth round to select a wide receiver. You see what I'm saying? So, like, the way the board falls, it feels like Pace identifies a select few individuals, and that's who he targets in on. And he does not have a large net, a large cloud of players that he could select at the positions the Bears are drafting. It feels to me, as now we have done this for five drafts since 2015, that Ryan Pace selects individuals based on predetermined positions at where they'll go throughout the draft. He doesn't wait until we get into the draft and then say, okay, you know, I really wanted Cole Kmet at 43, but man, look at the value that's still out there. I need an offensive tackle. I need a safety. I need a cornerback. I need some players who are maybe just as valuable to an NFL team as a number one tight end. And that's the thing that's bothersome to me is that he says, okay, the way the board fell is that there were no quarterbacks. They were happy with it. Fine. He said on Tuesday that if there was a quarterback there best available, the Bears would look at, because they always look at best available. Listen, you don't identify the quarterback position at all. Again, you don't address it. Clearly, it's not a position of concern for your franchise. You don't care about improving it because you're not selecting quarterbacks. What did I read this morning? The Saints are going to sign Jameis Winston? The Saints need another quarterback? Like, well, why are the Bears the only team in the NFL that don't value the quarterback position?
And if you read the reports, he's turned down more money from other teams to sign with the Saints. Chris, could I have interest you in a Grant Delpit?
Yeah, Grant Delpit's going to be good.
Could I interest you in an Antoine Winfield Jr.?
I really like Winfield Jr.
How about a Marlon Davidson, a defensive tackle?
Sure.
How about a Darrell Taylor, a defensive end?
Yeah.
You can keep Chase Claypool. How about Trayvon Diggs, who was there after 50?
Yeah, Diggs, yes, I agree.
Like, there's so much talent here. There's talent on the offensive line. You could have gotten Ezra Cleveland, who went to the Vikings at 58, if you wanted an offensive tackle to shore up that offensive line. To me, they didn't do anything on the offensive line because seventh round picks are hit or like completely hit or miss, right? They have more miss rate than anything. So,
yeah.
So you could say Charles Leno all you want. That's one guy. I have 100 other guys that aren't in the league that the Bears have drafted in the seventh round that haven't worked out, right? So yeah, you can say you addressed the offensive line the way you wanted to, but it's a seventh round pick. To me, like you said, Ryan Pace finds guys. He was probably on the phone with the NFL the same time that the Jaguars were on the phone with the NFL at 42. The NFL's sitting there looking at their call waiting, if that's still a thing, going, why are the Bears calling? They're not on the clock yet. And he's like, hold on a second. No, you can wait to pick Cole Kmet. Just hold on a second. We're trying to get the Jaguars picking. Don't you understand what's going on here? And they have to hang up on him because he's too eager to draft this guy because he zeroed in on him 17 weeks ago.
312-332-3776. Bears fans, how do you grade this draft from the Chicago Bears? What did you think of the moves Ryan Pace made yesterday on day three and the two selections in round two? Your thoughts next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Shout out to those watching on Twitch. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. The show is live. You can watch us. You can also listen to us on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app. Black and Abdallah talking NFL draft with you. Bears fans at 312-332-3776. What's your grade for the Bears draft? I open up ESPN.com this morning. Mel Kiper Jr. Here he is. Here's the draft grade for the Chicago Bears. He gives the Bears a C+ because they are in win now mode, and yet they do get two individuals with Johnson and Kmet in the second round who should be impact players. Mel looks at the selections in the fifth round and point out what we've been talking about. It seems like Ryan Pace reached, and it seems like he went for guys who were off the board on day three, is what Mel Kiper Jr. says. So Mel gives the Chicago Bears a C+. Do you agree with Mel Kiper Jr.?
Oh, man, it's hard to grade. Instant reaction, yes, because he starts by saying, too, how do we give a draft grade to a team that doesn't have a pick in one, the first round, the third round, or the fourth round? You know, like Ryan Pace has done this to himself.
Yeah.
You're in win now mode, but you don't have enough picks for a win now team, which is why I'm kind of surprised he didn't trade the 43rd pick or the 50th pick to get more of those third round and fourth round picks, where he has had success in the past in the third round and the fourth round. So it's hard to grade because it all depends on how these guys turn out. But instant reaction to me waking up this morning after yesterday, after not getting a quarterback, after not signing a quarterback as an undrafted free agent, even, I have to agree with Mel. I'm going to say B-C+.
If we look at the rest of the NFC North, he gives the Minnesota Vikings an A- for the grade. He says Minnesota came into Thursday night with 12 picks, ended Saturday night with 15 picks, plus an extra fourth rounder, which was the Bears pick, and two extra fifth round picks in 2021. Listen, if you're looking to develop and to build a team for sustained success, you do it in the NFL draft. Now, I get it. Their quarterback, at best, is mediocre. Kirk Cousins is a mediocre quarterback. They paid him a lot of money, but he is average at best.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. When you load up in the draft and you can manipulate other teams into handing you picks, when instead of swapping fifth rounders, the Bears and Vikings yesterday, the Bears get their player that they wanted in Gibson and a fifth round pick, but they also gave up next year in 2021 a fourth rounder that the Vikings now have. They have all these picks. They have the 15 players they drafted. Now listen, I counted the individuals. Basically, if we go by the rule of 1 through 4 mm-hmm. impact players, mm-hmm. they have 7. So that's still pretty good, right?
Yeah.
To the Bears, 2.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So the Minnesota Vikings from Mel Kiper Jr. get an A-. I love the first two picks that they have. Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver from LSU, and Jeff Gladney from TCU, the cornerback. They also land Ezra Cleveland, the tackle from Boise State, in the second round, a player the Bears passed on twice.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the Minnesota Vikings hit a home run. Absolute home run, A-.
I think that they're a team that is ready to make the jump to be the best team in the NFC North, right? I think the Packers not adding a lot of weapons around Aaron Rodgers. They're more planning for the future, it seemed like, than making impact, drafting impact players for this season. You know, is evident by picking Jordan Love in the first round. Like, Jordan Love's not going to see the field this year unless they trade Aaron Rodgers or he gets hurt. He may not see the field in 2 years unless Aaron Rodgers gets traded or he gets hurt. So to me, the Packers might have had the worst draft for this coming season. Now, for the future, they might be set. But for this coming season, they probably had the worst draft. The Vikings are a team that, you know, has playoff aspirations as well. They're one of the better teams, one of the best teams in the division right now. So ultimately, they look like the team that's ready to make that jump to be the best team in the NFC North, especially with, you know, the players that they draft. Justin Jefferson is really good. To get that kind of that weapon in the first round is going to be great for them. To add depth on that offensive line is great. That's a player that I was targeting that hopefully the Bears were going to get in the second round, but ultimately they didn't. They were like, ah, no, we can get offensive tackles at the end of the draft. That's fine. That's where you get the best offensive tackles.
No,
end
no,
of the draft.
That's not how it works.
No, isn't it?
No. Mel Kiper Jr. for the Detroit Lions gives them a B on their draft. Obviously, in the first round, in the third pick, they got Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. The cornerback, he's going to be awesome. In the second round, they got DeAndre Swift, the running back from Georgia. Still a little high for me. I wouldn't draft running backs in the second round. That's just my personal preference. I would wait to select those guys down the draft board. But Mel gives the Lions a B for their grade. And then, like Abdallah was kind of saying, the Green Bay Packers, what are you doing? Thankfully for Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears, the Packers are in the division because the Packers draft, Mel Kiper Jr. gives them a C. Obviously, we know in the first round, the 26th pick, the Packers move up for Jordan Love, and we don't know if the quarterback's going to play anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation where Aaron Rodgers still has a lot of good football ahead of him. Who knows how that's going to work out? And then their second pick, the 62nd pick overall, A.J. Dillon, running back from Boston College. Again, a second-round pick on a running back. That guy has to be an immediate difference maker. And to me, running backs, you can recycle through. You can get a new running back in a couple of years with a later draft pick. So the Packers get a C. The Lions get a B. You give the Bears a C- and the Vikings a C+ for the Bears, excuse me, and an A- for the Minnesota Vikings. So Bears fans, what's your grade on the Chicago Bears in the draft, what we saw in 2020? 312-332-3776. Mark in Lake Forest, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, fellas. First, I think your assessment is pretty spot on. I like the 2 second-round picks. I think Claypool would have been a guy. I'm a domer, so I guess I'm biased. But Claypool would have been a guy that could have went into the tight end position. But I think with Nagy's scheme, Komet is solid. But I think I look at the later round picks, and then I look at what you guys have just articulated, and I think you're spot on about where the other NFC North people are. And you got outplayed. And you got to play these guys. And so it doesn't necessarily matter how how well you did if you got outplayed, and there's only one team that could win the division, and if you're lucky, one wild card, right, to come out of the division, you're behind the eight ball. And I think this is more about Pace not saving his job, but creating a tire fire on his way out the door.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate the phone call. You know, and that's, you know, to Mark's point there, yeah, it seems like he always burns next year to try and save himself this year. And on Friday, Jeff Dickerson was on with Carmen and Yurko, and he said this, and I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was something that just stuck out to me. Listen to JD on Friday with Carmen and Yurko.
If the Bears weren't always trying to fix their mistakes, then maybe they could get better.
And that was what JD was talking about when you look at the Bears heading into the draft. Who are the teams that got better, right? And when you listen to it...
If the Bears weren't always trying to fix their mistakes, then maybe they could get better.
And it feels as if Ryan Pace creates the mistakes that then he has to fix, and his solution for fixing these mistakes is by spending the draft capital in the future, which then leads to a mistake in the future, right? Because now, next year, the Bears don't have a fourth-round pick. I was thinking that we would head into next year as like a clean slate, that everything would be ready for the Bears to then start implementing some new fresh players into this defense and get a quarterback, and everything could be set going forward. But now he's borrowing from tomorrow to pay out today to try and figure out something. When how does the value even make sense that you gave up a fourth round pick to move up in the fifth round?
It doesn't.
On what planet does that make any sense? And of course, the Vikings, who had a hell of a draft, played him.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time. Call up John Lynch. Ask him. He played Ryan Pace. It seems like he is the one at the table that everyone is looking at, and they're like, okay, I'm going to play him at some point today.
I can't ignore the glaring problem that they didn't get a quarterback for the future. Now, when JD joined us yesterday, we talked about that there's a scenario where there are three quarterbacks on the roster right now that might not be on the roster next year. You might not have a quarterback next year. Tyler Bray doesn't count. So let's say two quarterbacks. If they don't pick up Trubisky's option, which by all accounts, Pace won't even admit it. He won't even talk about it. Oh, still decompressing from the draft. You know you're not going to pick it up. Adam Schefter tweeted yesterday that the belief is that they're not going to pick it up. Nick Foles has an opt-out. If he plays really well and they go on a playoff run this season, and it's because of his play and the Bears don't want to give him that kind of money, he might not be on the roster next season. Now, JD believes that they'll work something out and he might like Matt Nagy, so he might stay. But ultimately, if he chooses to leave, he can choose to leave if he wants to because he can opt out. And you didn't draft for the future. The quarterback class next year is a two-quarterback draft, and that's it. And they may be the two first picks in the draft. So unless you're going to be one of the two worst teams in the league, you're not getting one of these good quarterbacks. So good luck with Sam Ehlinger out of Texas.
That doesn't get me going.
Sam Ehlinger, Bears quarterback.
Thank you. Can I read you a Twitter exchange that I think is a perfect depiction of how there are two types of Bears fans in this town today?
Yes.
Brian McLaughlin tweets us at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah. He says, I think I'm most upset that Pace was already trading next year's draft for a fifth. Something that we were just talking about.
Indeed.
It's a good tweet.
Indeed.
Aaron White responds to Brian's tweet and says, he didn't trade the whole draft, did he? There are two different Bears fans in this town. There are guys who are going to defend Pace no matter what, and then there are guys who are paying attention to the rest of the National Football League and point out the mistakes from the GM. More on the Bears next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Rob in South Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Love what you guys are doing. Real quick, just wanted to include that I believe that next year, you know, Pace is probably banking on, if he's still around, having those compensatory picks. He got a few this year, and he obviously traded the fourth for Nick Foles. But I see him going all in, as Cap puts it. He's going all in again. This is basically probably his last year. If it works out, he may stick around. If he doesn't, it sounds like everybody's got him leaving. But just something to keep in mind. Also, I think the Vikings did well, but they're a young team. With the Bears, our defense is much more experienced. It looks like Pace is trying to be something similar to what the Niners did last year, make it hard for the other team to get the ball out. That's all I got for you guys. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Hey, Rob, thank you for the call. Can I ask you a question? Does your opinion change if the compensation for those compensatory picks are sixth and seventh rounders?
Absolutely. But what I'm reading is that, and I don't know, man, to be honest with you, but it looks like a fourth. We traded a fourth to move up to get an edge rusher, which I'm scratching my head for that as well.
Yeah.
I thought there was plenty of talent there. But for offensive line, or again, what we needs are. But I feel like they've got a plan. I also mentioned to the guy that I talked to earlier, Alex Bars. I don't know. A lot of people don't know what he's going to be, but he had an opportunity to go to the Patriots last year. He stuck around. I feel like the Bears are going to be loyal to him and give him an opportunity to win that right guard position with Jermaine Effetti to back him up, or however they figure that out. But we see holes. Apparently, Pace doesn't. You know, that's what it looks like from this draft, is we don't see the same thing that he does. So just, you know, for me, I got to be optimistic. Hopefully we have a season this year, because that's how I get through the year every year.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. Will tweets us a screenshot of the projected compensation picks for the Bears next season, and it would be 3 6th-rounders and a 7th-round pick. So, you know, we won't find that out until we get into next season after the season, right? That's when you find out those picks. To me, that's not thrilling. So, like, if he is lucky to get back a 4th-round pick based on the play of these individuals that have left the team, he will save himself. Outside of that, I don't know if you can justify trading up in the 5th round and giving away a 4th-round 2021 pick for someone who's going to be an edge rusher, outside linebacker, who... a 5th-round player, there's no guarantee that, like, what's the expectation for a 5th-round player to be, especially on this defense? Like, he's not going to,
He's a rotational guy. He's a rotational guy.
Rotational guy, maybe.
Well, but you also...
special teamer? Is that what you gave up a 4th-round 2021 pick for?
Well, when you and I were getting ready for yesterday's show and this pick came in and we were like, well, the Bears just traded up. And we're like, wait, no, nope, they traded in. And then we're looking at the best available defensive ends after they took him. We're like, where is Trevis Gibson? He's not on this list. He's not on ESPN's best available that had, like, 15 defensive ends.
Multiple websites did not have a player bio for Gibson. So as a Bears fan, I get it. These draft websites do the best they can. They don't know everything, right? But then when you see a 2nd, 5th-round pick on the board and the Bears select them, and that individual also not on any scouting service website, heading into the draft, don't you have to start questioning what is going on here?
Since we're comparing Bears fans here, let's compare another set of Bears fans. Here's another set of Bears fans. Anthony Deering tweets us, why not take Fromm in the 5th round? What do you have to lose? All these teams with established QBs still taking a QB. It boggles my mind that the most important position in sports and the Bears never draft any. Mike responds, Belichick didn't draft one either.
Okay, yeah, all right, fine. Do you have more faith in Stidham than you do Trubisky? I don't know how to answer that. We haven't seen anything from Stidham.
I have more faith in Bill Belichick than I do in the Patriots organization than I do the Bears organization.
Of course.
And if they didn't see, I know they drafted a kicker too. That's fine. But if I see the Patriots doing something, I'm more in line to do what they do than to do what the Bears and Ryan Pace have done. One team traded up for Mitchell Trubisky. One team had Tom Brady for 20 years. So I feel like, yeah, the Patriots didn't either, but who knows? Someone may get traded. The Patriots might trade for Aaron Rodgers. Who knows?
I love that. The Patriots didn't either. Let's hear from Ryan Pace. He'll tell us why no quarterback in this year's draft class.
It just has to align for us. You know, I mean, you know, every draft, you know, different positions, their strengths and weaknesses. But for us to take any position, it really has to align for us the right way. So, you know, sometimes there's players we like at that position, and the board just doesn't follow that way for us. So that's what happened this draft, and we're okay with it because we came away with seven players we're really excited about.
That's the best way to answer that question with no answer, right?
It just didn't align.
It didn't align for us. Peter in Miami listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What do you think?
Peter!
Guys, good morning. How are you?
Good man. What's up?
I'm still scratching my head throughout these 3 days. This whole season, it was 16 games. What was the biggest problem of this team? Wasn't it the offensive line? Of course, I'm not the one to judge, but I've never played football. But after watching these games, wasn't it the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line was no good. So, are you happy with the seventh-round picks that Pace used for the offensive line?
I have no idea who these people are. It's not my payroll to judge that. But if that was the biggest weakness, why do you – again, the tight end, good kid. He looks like a good player. But why do you go and sign Jimmy Graham the first day of a free agent for $9 million?
Yeah,
I don't understand. I don't understand. I think we're bound for another 8-8 season, and probably hope that they kind of clear house, because Pace did only one thing, and everyone would have done that with Khalil Mack, but he's wasting his years too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Thank you for the phone call, Peter. And you know, you look at this whole situation, offensive line. Ezra Cleveland was there. The Bears could have selected him. Mm-hmm. The value was high. Mel Kiper Jr. had him ranked as the 22nd best player in the draft. He was there at 43. He was there at 50. You could have selected someone to immediately help your offensive line. If you're someone that calls this station, that tweets at Chris Black, that tweets at Adam A. Abdallah, and you tell us that the quarterback is not the problem, and the problem with this team is offensive line help, then you should be mad today.
Mm-hmm.
No longer are you allowed to tweet me or Abdallah and call ESPN 1000 and call us haters, because you should be mad that Ryan Pace did not address the offensive line early in this year's draft. If that was your take before the draft, that the reason Trubisky has been no good is because of the offensive line play, you should be mad today. That's not on us anymore.
Mm-mm.
He didn't address it either.
I didn't draft these guys.
He didn't, right? Like, if your take is that Trubisky is good, you guys are haters. Black and Abdallah, you guys are haters on Trubisky.
Even
though we have all the facts in the world to back up our statements and opinions. Even though we have the facts on our side. If we're haters, well, it's true. If we're the haters, and your stance, because we've gotten those calls, we've gotten those tweets, right?
Yeah.
If the Bears had an offensive line, Trubisky would be fine. That's all we need. Well, you should be mad at Pace. Be mad at Pace. There should be outrage today at the way Pace handled this draft. If you are an offensive line take guy, if your take is that the only problem with Trubisky is the offensive line play, then Pace let you down.
Well, see,
he completely let you down.
There's a few more schools of thought that go into this, because you've got the guy that's the offensive line guy. You've got the guy that's also, well, his wide receivers had the most drops in the NFL last season. Well, you drafted a wide receiver in the fifth round in Darnell Mooney after trading sixth to get back into the fifth round, who dropped 18% of his passes. He had some of the most drops in college football. Oh, so, yeah. Listen, he's very fast. It doesn't seem like Ryan Pace is improving the positions that fans can see and that we can see do need improvement. Is the offensive line the biggest problem on the team? No. Is wide receiver the biggest problem on the team? No. The biggest problem on the team is your damn quarterback is garbage. That's the problem. Now you've got Nick Foles in there. Maybe he can do something with Matt Nagy's system and implement that. That's fine. I get that. But ultimately, you needed to improve the offensive line. People are saying, oh, well, Juan Castillo is going to bring in a new system. It'll be fine. Everyone will be great. Everybody's going to be a great offensive line now that you've got a new system. That doesn't guarantee anything. There was depth. There was value. There were players available. But you chose to get to draft a tight end who could be very good. Very good. And, yes, you addressed a position of need in Jalen Johnson, but he played the entire season with a torn labrum and has chronic labrum problems.
Yeah, I listen, and we'll continue taking your phone calls at 312-332-3776. The win total in Vegas is at 8.5 wins for the Chicago Bears.
Half a game.
Did the Bears improve enough to go over 8.5 in Vegas? We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. And good question next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
We'll take your phone calls at 312-332-3776, talking about the NFL draft and the Chicago Bears. Are you happy with what Ryan Pace accomplished this weekend in the NFL draft? Do you like what he did? And, you know, for those watching on Twitch, you can search for the show at ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can watch the show along with everyone else. In the chat, let's shout out Neil B. For pointing out that Pace is not terrible. And then following up the comments about Ryan Pace by saying that fans don't remember the mess that we were in before he got here. Is that the standard that we're living with now here as Chicago Bears fans? Is because it was really, really, really bad before with Emery that Pace is okay because it's just not that. As long as it's not that, we're just okay. Clearly, Bears fans not living their best life. Like, that's not the approach that they have. They're just content. Right? Like, in the age of living your best life, that's not the way Bears fans are operating. If the way Neil, shout out to Neil watching on Twitch, he's in the chat on Twitch, pointing out that, well, it's not as bad as it was before. Neil, what's up? Thank you for watching. Thank you for commenting. But the point is, we should have better. Right? Like, are we really content? We're just content with the way that things have gone on?
Yes. He rebuilt the defense. I get that. But ultimately, it's not hard to say you're going to give up two first-round picks for Khalil Mack. And the Raiders, who traded you, thought that you'd have the worse record than the other team bidding for Khalil Mack, so they went with you, and they were right.
I mean, am I crazy?
No.
I get it. To that point, then why is Lovie Smith not here anymore? Right? Like, if you want to throw out the, well, it was better or it was really bad in the back in the day. Well, yeah. Well, guess what? Lovie Smith had more success than Nagy to this point.
Got fired after a 10-win season.
So you should probably be on the Lovie Smith bandwagon then, questioning this new head coach. I'm not doing that. I like Nagy. I think that this is going to work out fine for him.
I've always said that Nagy is a better coach and is being held back by what Trubisky can't do. And maybe with Nick Foles, that changes. I don't think they're going to pick up his fifth-year option, and I don't think he's going to be the starter unless they actually don't get back to any preseason or any form of pre-workouts or whatever. They only have a few weeks to get ready for the regular season. They just go, well, he's been starting, so we're just going to go with him until he loses the job. But I think that if there's a real quarterback competition, Nick Foles is going to win that job because Nick Foles is better than Mitchell Trubisky. That's just a fact. Foles is better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Les in Brighton Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Les?
Fellas, what's up? I was upset. I wanted a game changer. You know, I mean, either offensive line, wide receiver, but I was the guy that was touting Dobbins the entire draft. The guy is a game changer. I know you said about running back, but I saw him play 4 years at Ohio State. All he does is run north and south, hits the hole real hard. Or either that, or you got a guy Higgins from Clemson right there. You know, you need a wide receiver. So I was, when they took a tight end, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. You know? So that's my take. And offensive line, yeah, you could have got him later in the round, but you had three great running backs there and some dynamic wide receivers to take in that first pick. I was pissed when they took a tight end.
I agree with you with J.K. Dobbins. Again, I don't like drafting running backs that high.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to be really good. I agree with Les. J.K. Dobbins is going to be awesome in the NFL.
I have no problem with drafting a running back in the second or third round. I just just don't plan on paying them after that runs out. You know, pick up their option. You have them for 5 years, and then you just draft another one.
Yeah, and think about the offense for the Baltimore Ravens and what J.K. Dobbins is fitting into.
Yeah.
The number one offense in the NFL last year. Mm-hmm. They put up points at an unbelievable clip. And also, Lamar Jackson, the running threat that he is, adding Dobbins to what they already have, that's very,
it's a luxury.
Very
it was
impressive.
A luxury pick.
Absolutely.
Right? Like if you're the Ravens, there's not much that you need to add, and you're like, oh well, we could have one of the best running backs from college football last season. Let's just do that. It's a luxury pick.
And the fact that he was what, the sixth running back off the board, it's kind of crazy as well. Each week here on Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, we have our favorite segment of the week. We'll continue taking your Bears phone calls at 312-332-3776. But let's go to Good Question Abdallah. And each week throughout the year, we score the host here on ESPN 1000 when they ask a question to an interviewed guest on the phone and the guest responds with good or great question. We give them a point. And in 2020, what does our leaderboard look like?
Tommy over the middle. 1G Thomas Waddle leading the way with 18. Sylvie has 17. Cap has 16.
All right, here's Good Question. Dad, I got a question for you.
Get an answer. It's a final question, bro. You're going to take any question?
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38. Dad, I got a question for
you. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us, Neo. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? Dad, I got a question for you. Can
I get an answer? This week's edition of Good Question.
Yeah, look, you're around the young
Jonathan
athletes
Hood.
All the time in the NBA. And so everyone talks, you know, it's just a big family reunion when everyone comes together and there's always talk. What's going on with this organization? Should I play here? What's going on with PAX? What's going on? So that's a big, I think a big talking point when it comes to the Bulls. Can I hang my hat here? And so even though all this stuff is from the past, how much does that affect the future for Arturas and company?
Well, it's a good question.
Dan, you and I are of the same mind in
Golic,
this process.
Junior.
And so I ask you because the first round kind of hinges on what's going to happen with these guys and who might potentially move. So if Justin Herbert is Steakums and Tua Tagovailoa is a bone and filet, what is Jordan Love?
It's a great question.
What does this say to Aaron? Like when Aaron came in, Brett was a jerk to him. When this guy comes in, is Aaron going to go, hey, man, I'm one of the 10 greatest. I know you're not taking my job right now. I'll work with you. Or is Aaron going to be Brett?
That's the great question.
So I've asked everybody that we've talked to over the last, not just today, but earlier in the week.
Dethroned.
How surprised would you be if the Bears find themselves with a quarterback in 43 or 50 tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question.
Everybody's going crazy with this. I mean, you know, park areas are closing.
Chauncey's great outdoors. Chauncey's great
DuPage
outdoors.
County resident, which what? I won't even get into. There's a lot of things that are concerning.
Is that political?
But you as a, you know, you're a businessman in the community.
I think
you're
I have to write his
community
name in.
Leader.
Yes. I don't think he's ever had one before.
What can Chauncey. We do as sportsmen? That listen, you know, and over
doing
the years,
this for 3 years,
hundreds
this
and hundreds
first,
of thousands
Chauncey,
of sports.
This is a long question
to.
Where's
what
the question?
Can we do to help
there it is. There it is.
Us get through all of this goofy thing with the business community.
What, Chauncey? It's a great question.
Was there music in the background?
I think there was.
Was there like? Was that the Masters music in the background?
Was he talking about fishing and
was
golf?
Was that difficult time music?
Your call's next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.